Blog Talk Radio.
A change has come over me. You changed my life, and now I'm free. Jermaine is coming at this time.
Thank you.
praise God, praise God. We just praise God tonight for a wonderful change that has come over us tonight. I just thank God because a wonderful change has truly come over me. I thank him, man. I think even this morning he woke me up with a change of heart, a change of mind, a change in my spirit, a change in my thought patterns, a change in my life, a change in my way I attack life. I begin to thank him right now for a wonderful change, a wonderful, wonderful change. How many of you say, God, I thank you for change? And something that we look at is that change is something that we don't often invite, because when you go to the store, what's the first thing come out of your pocket? The change. You're going to get all the quarters out of your pocket, the nickels, the dimes, and you're going to pay for it with that and keep those dollar bills folded up. Because we don't want change often, but I thank God tonight for a wonderful, wonderful change that has come over me. It has set me free from myself, free from my thought patterns, free from my mindsets. I'm grateful tonight, this Thursday night, where we give God honor and glory and praise. I thank God for who he is. I thank God for who he is in all of our lives, each one under the sound of my voice. I just want to give him honor and glory and praise and just worship him for who he is. I worship God for the change. Now, I'm just reminded when I look in the Bible, every time somebody had an encounter with Christ, that was a change. So I just say that when we have these encounters, how can we be in the presence of God and not be changed? See, that's the evidence of being in his presence. See, some of us, we lack that so much. But when we're in his presence, you got to be changed. You can't be the same once you encounter him. So I just give him honor tonight. Give honor to God who's had our lives. Give honor to the visionaries, again, of OMG, that is the founders and the obedient people, that the visionaries for this ministry, which we call the Blog Talk from American Ministry Groups. Give honor to them. None other than my brother, Minister Dr. Jesse Store, and his lovely queen, Evangelist Tammy Store. We give them honor tonight. We give God honor for each and every one of you who on the sound of my voice and your family members and loved ones that are represented. We praise God for this day, which we call today. We just thank him for what he's done in our lives, what he's allowed to happen in our lives, the good, the bad, the indifferent. I praise him. I praise him today. I praise him for my brothers, even today when we were at the gym early. The girls were working out, and we just had some deep conversation. And it's going to lead to some of the things that we're going to talk about in the blog. I'll talk to my brother Quay, my brother Jesse. They had some really deep insight on some of the things that we're going through. So I just begin to praise God for it. I praise God for my wife, my best friend, who he's going to hear next. Evangelist Maria Flint, that's my buddy, man, y'all. She hold me down. But I just thank God for that. I thank God for my son. He's finally getting himself together, and I pray God for that. He's taking steps to, encounter with God, and he's changing, and it's evident. You can see it. See, sometimes when you have those encounters with God, the inside, everybody can't see it, but then they start bleeding on the outside. So I praise God for the change. I praise God for the opportunity to change, because some people didn't make it. But we have that opportunity to change and get it right. So I ask for everyone, and I admonish you tonight, on the sound of my voice, that if you got a chance to get it right with God, get it right. Accept the change. Embrace the change. In Jesus' name. That's what's here to be done under my wife, Evangelist Maria Flynn, my queen. God bless.
Praise God. I give honor to God, who's definitely the head of my life. I honor this great man, my best friend, my boyfriend, Mr. Pastor George Flint. Thank God for just being back. I was absent on last Thursday because I was on a cruise, and so I thank God for being back. Believe me, I was ready to come home because I missed my family. So thank God for being here, and God is saying today, taste and see that I am good. This command contains an invitation to experience my living presence. It also contains a promise. The more you experience me, the more convinced you become of my goodness. This knowledge is essential to your faith walk. When adversities strike, the human instinct is to doubt my goodness. My ways are mysterious, even to those who know me intimately. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways and thoughts higher than your ways and thoughts. Do not try to fathom my ways. Instead, spend a time enjoying me and experiencing my goodness. We have three scriptures. The first scripture is coming from Psalms 34:8. It reads, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him." Isaiah 55:8-9. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And Psalms 105, "For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures for all generations." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearers, and doers of this word.
God bless that word. God bless the word. May the Lord have blessed the reading and the doing of his word, which he's saying, taste and see that the Lord is good. I'm telling you, once you taste and see the Lord is good, you can't help but change. A wonderful change will take place. And then you don't want to even walk away from it. So we're just getting to praise God for that. We praise God for who he is in our lives and what he's done in our lives. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God. We praise you. We worship you. We magnify your name, God. We give you honor, God. We give you glory. We give you praise. Father, we thank you, God, for who you are in our lives. God, we thank you for this day, God. We thank you, God, that the word, God, will come forth. It will bless, God. We praise you for your Holy Spirit that is already here, God. Your presence is already here. We decrease, Father, that you increase, that your holy will be done, Father. We thank you that anybody that needs you, God, anybody that needs medical attention, God, anybody that needs a physical touch from you, God, anybody that's going through something mentally, spiritually, God, that even right now, Father, as under the sound of my voice, God, that you're touching right now, God, you're healing, God, you're delivering, you're setting free, God. You're removing, God, things that have been blocking, God, and you're opening up doors, God. I begin to praise you for it, right? And I begin to praise you, God, even for the downtrodden spirit, God, that has been over the heaviness, God, and the shortcomings, God. I begin to praise you for that, God, for each and every one of us, God. And I ask, God, that you have your way right now, God. As I decrease, Father, and you increase. As we decrease, Father, and you increase, God. And anyone on the side of us that don't know you as our Lord and personal Savior, God, that this God is something for them to get to know you, God, so as the word will begin to manifest in their lives, Father, we give you honor, God. We give you glory. We give you praise. In your Son Jesus Christ's name we pray. And so it is. Hey. Man, God gave me a special topic tonight for us, ladies and gentlemen. Men and women of God. Talking about praising in the pit. And I said, okay, let me go and find out what is a pit. I talked to my buddy Webster, and he said a pit is a large hole in the ground. Or you can make a hollow indentation in the surface of, or set someone or something in conflict or competition with. I mean, it's just different things, a hole, a ditch, a trench, a trough, a hollow, excavation, cavity, crater, pothole. The second has announced that an area reserved or enclosed for a specific activity in particular. An area reserved or enclosed for a specific activity. How many sometimes in your life, just be truthful with yourself, can say, I've been in a pit? My hand is raised. I've been in a pit. I've probably been in a pit several different times. And one time I can tell you when I was in a pit, I did a 40-day fast in it. No bread, no water. And God began to move in my life. So my nickname used to be Gigi. I thought I was a great gangster, you know, get it and go. All type of things I had for that nickname that went with Gigi. But and that moniker. But when I went through that transformation in that pit, just as like Jacob did when he wrestled that Peniel, I said, man, no longer will I be used by this name. Will I be known by this name? Or this name will be something that people call me by. I'm George. George is a farmer, so I sow seeds. George is one that develops. Amen. God said, hey, man, we're here. We're shepherds. And that's what it is. So, and that's who I am. So I praise God for that tonight. But let's talk about the pit. An area reserved or enclosed for a specific activity in particular. And the word for tonight is praise in the pit. So I'm going to look at some people that's been in the pit. So I'm going to talk, the first person we'll go to and talk about is Brother Joseph. If you don't mind, let's go to Genesis 37 chapter. Say, Joseph, when he was 17 years old, was shepherding the flock with his brothers, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. The boys were the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah, his father's secondary wives, and Joseph brought back a bad report about them to their father. Third verse says, now Israel, Jacob loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a distinctive multicolored tunic. His brother saw that their father loved Joseph more than all of his other brothers. So they hated him and could not find it within themselves to speak to him on friendly terms. Now Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. He said to them, "Please listen to the details of this dream, which I have dreamed. We brothers were binding sheaves of grain stalks in the field, and lo, my sheaves suddenly got up and stood upright and remained standing. And behold, your sheaves stood all around my sheaves and bowed down in respect." His brother said to him, "Are you actually going to reign over us? Are you really going to rule and govern us as your subjects?" So they hated him even more for telling them about his dreams and for his arrogant words. But Joseph dreamed still another dream and told it to his brothers as well. He said, "See here, I have again dreamed a dream. You know, this time I saw 11 stars, and the sun and the moon bowed down in respect to me." He told to his father as well as to his brothers, but his father rebuked him and said to him in disbelief, "What is the meaning of this dream that you have dreamed? Shall I, your mother, and your brothers actually come to bow down to the ground in respect before you?" Joseph's brother was envious and jealous of him, but his father kept the words of Joseph in mind. All right, then his brothers went to pasture their father's flock. Here's what it gets interesting. And here's what said Jesus, go find your brothers, Joseph, pasturing the flock at Shechem. Come and I'll send you to them. And he said, "Here I am, ready to obey you." Let's go down to the 18th verse. It said, when they saw him from a distance, even before he came close to them, they plotted to kill him. They said to one another, "Look, here comes this dreamer. And then come, let us kill him and throw him into one of the pits, cisterns, underground water storage. Then we will say to our father, a wild animal killed and devoured him. And we shall see what will become of his dreams." See, that's the first time he went in the pit. We can look at some other story. We can look at where he went with Potiphar's wife. I mean, he was with Potiphar working after that. But one thing about this pit, I was telling my brothers, listen to this. It was on the road where Syria goes to Egypt. It's one road to travel, and Israel is in the middle of it. And Joseph had to be on that pit, on the side of the road, at the right time, at the right place, to get him a free ride to his destiny. Hallelujah. How many of you know that sometimes you go through some things? It may be repossession of your car. It may be foreclosure. It may be a pink slip. And we look at it as if it's a bad thing. But sometimes those pits are not bad things. My brother Quade said, and he always said, he said, which one of the favors of God will you deny? Which one of the favors of God would you deny? I praise God for my pit, because even in my pit, when I was doing the incarceration, the 9 months I did, God dealt with me on a level like no other. On a level like none other in my pit. You got Paul, you're going to get Paul and Silas in that pit. They begin to praise God in the midnight hour. That's in Acts 16. You can just read it for yourself. But in the midnight hour, and chains begin to break. They said it was an earthquake because of the praise. Now I ask you tonight, what position are you in when you're in your pit? Ask yourself that. When I'm in my pit, do I murmur? Do I complain? Do I throw my hands up and say, "God, I praise you for this"? And we talk about vision, because this is not what I saw. This pit is not my end, because I didn't see this pit. You didn't give me this pit as a vision. You didn't give me this pit in a dream. See, sometimes we don't know about the in-between, right? I used to always talk about the in-between. I always talk about when I was growing up at Six Flags, they had a ride called the Mind Bender, and they had another ride that was called the Scream Machine. And when you get on it, another ride, the last ride when I was in high school was Georgia Cyclone. And when you first get on that ride, you see people getting off, they happy and all that stuff. You get on and you feel like something. But that in between, the loops and loops and all those other things, man, you didn't know about that until you got off. You're screaming and you're doing everything else. That name fit it. But here's what I'm saying is that's how life is sometimes. We don't know. God give you a vision. You've been prophesied to. And it's a beautiful situation, but that in-between that we have to go through, despise not the process. Despise not some of those pits that's in the pitfalls that's in the process. Some of those pits protect you. It said in a trough. I'm looking at people that's in the military. When they're doing hand-to-hand combat. No, if it wasn't for the pit or the dunghills, they may not have no one to hide to save them, just to protect them. So sometimes that pit saves you. I look at sometimes the pit could have saved me. I could have been on the streets. And the life that I was living, I could have got killed. I could have killed somebody else. But that pit saved me, but that's keeping me off long enough to get me back where God wants me to be. To get my attention. Sometimes that pit, God said, okay, he don't want to listen. Let me put it back against the wall where all he can do is heal me. Now once he healed me, guess what? Now he can praise me. I use my cell phone for an example tonight. Sometimes we look at situations, even with where he's going to go to school next. And we had opportunities, and some of those opportunities passed us by. But, hey, which one of the favors of God would you deny? That opportunity could have came or could have been more miserable than the one he just left. Could have been more detrimental than a blessing, than the one he just left, though it appears to be a blessing. So, God, we praise you for that. We praise you in the process, God. I look at my mother in 2014, and I look at when they had to put her in a deuce coma because she kept pulling the trick out of her mouth and the tube, whatever the tube was. She kept pulling that tube out. So they put her in a coma so they can work with her. But at that time in that coma, that's a pit. Her body was swollen up completely. I mean, it was. I still got the pictures in my phone, but it was a problem. When you go in there, you saw that. You had to have a mask on. You had to have protective clothing on just to go and sit in the room with her. In that pit. But what? And the whole time she said, guess what, God? He let me put worship music in there. And then after that, I just sleep with her. So the next thing he told me to do, George, say, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. So every time I got a chance to whisper that in her ears, I did. But then while she was in that pit, God even showed her a vision of being in a bubble, being tormented. And God said, guess what? You got the power. Open your mouth and begin to speak. How many in the pit do you complain or do you murmur or do you begin to praise God? Do you begin to say, I know this is not my end. I know, God, that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I know, God, that you make a way, God. You made a way, God, and you'll make a way, God. You've done it before. You'll do it again, God. How many times do you go by the testimonies of God and begin to speak on how many times God delivered you or how many people you've seen God deliver and say, God, I know, God, you're not a respecter of persons. If you've done it for them, God, you'll do it for me, God. I know, God, this is not my end, God. The enemy said that you give her 2 weeks to live or you give her 5 days to live, God. But, God, this is not my end. When my ability ends, God, your grace begins, God. Let your grace begin now, God. See, my ability ends, and that's why I'm in this pit. So, you see, sometimes another thing about the pit we got to realize, ladies and gentlemen, that we need to own while we're there. I was sharing that with my brother. I said, man, you know what we have become? We have become experts in blaming others for our situation. But my experts in passing the blame. But sometimes we got to come to the point where I'm going to own this. This is my fault. I'm sick in my body. This is my fault. I'm lacking finances. This is my fault. These are things that I've done wrong to put myself in this situation. But God, I'm going to thank you for in this pit, because in this pit now I can hear your voice. Now I can get directions. Now I can get instructions. Things just go bad. I get in that closet, I'm telling you. And I just say, God, I got to hear your voice. Sometimes when I was in the pit, and I'm wrestling with God, just like David. I'm talking about, I don't want to praise, I don't want to worship, I don't want to hear nothing. But when God breaks that seal and realizes, hey, man, I'm in this pit, and it's just you and I, and I ain't going to let you go till you bless me. That's the mindset we have to have sometimes. And then not only that, God, what do you want me to do? Just look at Joseph. I learned today, I'm going to tell you something this morning. I'm going to share it with you this morning, 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, God was dealing with me. My wife can attest to it. But here's what God showed me. He said, George, the problem with you, the problem with the body of Christ, the problem with a lot of people in this world today, especially the body of Christ, is that you guys lack irresponsibility and you have no management skills. I told you to be a faithful steward of what I've given you. And that's your life. We don't know what my body. People got cancer in their body. People obese. People different from bulimic. We got different things that we got going on in our body. And then we wonder why. How many know that disease is a curse? How many know that poverty is a curse? Being barren. Let's take it at Sarah. She was barren. That barrenness is a pit. And being barren doesn't have to be just a womb. Some of us are barren. Spiritually, physically, financially, that's a curse. When God told you to be fruitful and multiply, and that means that's something you got to reproduce. But we're not reproducing. We're not reproducing after our own kind. We're not reproducing, and I'm not even talking about a seed, but it got to be a seed, but I'm not even talking about your child. I'm talking about a seed, reproducing the seed, reproducing the seed of life, reproducing the seed of hope, reproducing the seed of joy. But we're in that pit. We began to just fall in it. That's why they call it pitfall. And we stay there. But God said, enough is enough is enough. And I'm learning now how to manage my life. I'm learning now how to leave an inheritance. So we talked about it. He said, man, a good man will leave an inheritance to his children and his children's children. So I spoke to my wife. I said, what kind of inheritance would I be leaving to my child if I'm lazy, if I'm lethargic, if I'm always making excuses, if I'm not holding my own? My children, excuse me, I apologize. I said children's children. My wife's trying to correct me, but she won't get away this time. But anyway, what kind of message would I be leaving for that? What kind of inheritance? See, it's a flip of that coin. I always tell people, man, you can be exposed or you can get exposure. It's a flip of the coin. Here's the tails. I can leave an inheritance and say, hey, I have a work ethic. I have an ability to say I trust God. I live by God. I walk by faith. Not only do I walk by faith, but I line up myself with the will of God. I line up myself with kingdom principles and a kingdom mindset. I told them in Deuteronomy 6 that you tie these things around your hands, you know, and then as a frontlet, as a reminder of where you've been and where you've gone, and a reminder to your children of the promises of God. And here's the thing, that how he brought us through, how he brought you through. And God promised you real estate. He said, Abraham, I got a land for you. He told Moses, I got a land full of milk and honey. Ask me why. Listen, how many of you got real estate? That's what God promised. He said, the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, and the meek shall inherit the earth. But sometimes we're looking for getting out of here instead of understanding what God is saying with his kingdom mindset. Maybe your pit is in that real estate. You know, Abraham had pits and he had wells that was dug up. You know, and that's what they use sometimes. They say the pit sometimes is a well. So we look at the different things that God has put us into. Let's look at Daniel in the lion's den. He was in a pit, but look at his posture while he was in the pit. So powerful, so anointing that he was so tied into God and so locked in that when he went in there, the lions was his pillows. The other lion was a blanket. And the lion's den, ladies and gentlemen. How many of us know we get into the lion's den? We'd be just like the mother ones that persecuted him. Before we even get down, they haven't talked on us and crushed all our bones. And we got to change our posture in this pit. That's a good. I'm going to Psalms 57 real quick. Watch it. It said, be gracious to me, O God. Be gracious and merciful to me, for my soul finds shelter and safety in you. And in the shadow of your wings I will take refuge and be confidently secure until destruction passes by. I will cry to God Most High, who accomplishes all things on my behalf, for he completes my purpose in his plan. He will send from heaven and save me. He calls to account him who tramples me down. God will send out his loving kindness and his truth. My life is among lions. I must lie among those who breathe out fire, the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Be exalted above the heavens, O God. Let your glory and majesty be over all the earth. They set a net for my steps. My very life was bowed down. They dug a pit before me. In the midst of it, they themselves have fallen. Hallelujah. My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast and confident. I will sing. Yes, I will sing praises to you. Look at David. David's showing you this is the posture. Awake, my glory. Awake, harp and lyre. I will awaken the dawn. I will praise and give thanks to you, O Lord, among the people. I will sing praises to you among the nations, for your faithfulness and loving kindness are great. Reaching to the heavens and your truth to the clouds. Be exalted above the heavens, O God. Let your glory and majesty be over all the earth. Now, how many would take that posture? Let's be honest with yourself. Or are you like me sometimes? You like you murmur and complain when these things happen, when hardships hit you. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. When the hardships first hit me, I was upset. I was pissed. I had all different kind of emotions. And I let it be known. But here's the thing. Talk about the management. Here's the thing. Here's the kicker. Here's one of your favorite phrases, church people. Christians, body of Christ. The wealth of the wicked is stored up for the just. That's our favorite thing, right? So if it's stored up for the just, why they got your stuff? Why you in the pit? They in the palace. Ask yourself that. Why is he my employer? Or why is he my employer? And she ain't living for you, God. That's the things you find out in that pit. See, in that pit, you find out how to live right. In that pit, you find out kingdom principles that will take you from the pit to the palace. We look at Joseph. Joseph was in the pit. He still was obedient to God's will. He never lost focus. He had the dream. We talked about it in the beginning. And in the midst of those dreams, he kept that dream. He kept that vision. So he realized, no matter where I'm at now, this is not my end. This is not what I saw when I was 17 years old. This is not what I saw when God gave me that dream and said, these thoughts are going to rise up, and these thoughts are going to bow down before it. This is not what I saw in this pit right here. This is not what I saw in this prison, being a slave. This is not what I saw. But the whole time, God was just giving him skills on how to manage. And how to manage it, how to be a faithful steward, how to hold on. And even every time at Pop House, it was blessed. Even in the prison, it was blessed. And God gave him the gift. I'm even giving you the gift of dreams and interpreting dreams. And just on your favor, it said your gift, hallelujah. How many of you know that it's time to lay your gift on the altar before God? He said your gift will make room for you and put you before great men. Joseph is a prime example. Look what his gift did. His gift made room for him and made him the second person in Egypt, in all of Egypt, the second in position in all of Egypt under Pharaoh alone. That was his gift did. Let's look at Daniel and his gift. And I told you, man, and here's the thing about it. With Daniel and his friends, Nebuchadnezzar, his gift, we got to tell you this dream. Nebuchadnezzar gave him the answer to the dream and answered the questions because he was going to kill all the seals and quote-unquote prophets. God gave him that gift. That gift made room for him, and he was honored at a high level, even with Nebuchadnezzar's son of Belshazzar. Honored at a high level. Let's look at the pit, knowing who your God is. See, some of us, we stay in that pit and we stay in that mold that we're in because we don't know who we are. We don't know who we are not, so we don't know who our God is. But you look at the three Hebrew boys, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. You may know him as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But they refused to obey Nebuchadnezzar when he set up the big statue and said everybody need to bow down and praise him. So in the midst of that, guess what their pit became? A fiery furnace. In the midst of that fiery furnace, they were praising God. What's your position? Is there a praise on your tongue? Do your lips part with praise? David said, my heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast and confident. I will sing. Excuse me. Yes, I will sing praises to you. Awake my glory. Awake harp and lyre. I will awaken the dawn. I will praise and give thanks to you, O Lord, among the people. I will sing praises to you among the nations. For your faithfulness and loving kindnesses are great, reaching to the heavens, and your truth to the clouds. Be exalted above the heavens, O God. Let your glory and majesty be over all the earth. Let's look at another psalm he had. I'm sorry, bear with me. Psalm 142. He said, I cried to the Lord with my voice. This is when he was in a cave. He was in a cave with Medulla. He said, I cried to the Lord with my voice. With my voice to the Lord, I make my supplication. I pour out my complaint before him. I declare before him my trouble. How many sometimes you have been troubled? Who been troubled? Again, let me ask you some questions. Who've been, you know, facing financial difficulties, facing health issues, facing children being disobedient, children in prison? My mom, man, listen, I honor this woman truly because she done had children incarcerated. She lost three sons. She was a mother of five sons biologically. Three of them have already passed. You got two that was... man, I don't even know the words to describe them, but they were some bad guys. And she had to deal with that. So that's one thing. That's one part of stress. And then the other part of stress is that in that time, she had husbands that, you know, that she was a widow three different times. And you just look at different things like that, and you're like, man, that's so much to deal with. And how do I continue to hold on to God? How do I continue to be faithful in these times, in times like these? But she found a way to trust God in spite of. Now, do I have that in me? I pray that I do now. I pray that, like I said again, long-suffering. You guys know me, know that long-suffering was always my vice. But God has taken me to another level in him. So that now in the midst of it, as my brother said, which one of the favors of God would you deny? Would you reject? And I'm learning to praise him in the pit. I'm learning to praise him in the hard times, and so that I can even, you know, even give him more glory when in the good times. You know, the song said, God has not promised me sunshine, but a little rain, Mr. God's sunshine, makes me appreciate the good times. So I thank God for the rain. I thank him for the thunderstorms. I praise him in the storm. Because when that shine breaks through, I can give him even more glory. I thank him for the rain anyway, because most times in the rain, we already been sowing seeds everywhere, so we need some rain for the, you know, one man plant, another water. God gives the increase. Thank God for the water. And praise him for the increase. I hear what David said. He says in the second verse, I will pour out my complaint before him. I declare before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then you knew my path. And the way in which I walk, they have secretly set a snare for me. Here we go again, talking them pits. Look on my right hand and see, for there is no one who acknowledges me. Refuge has failed me. No one cares for my soul. I never felt like that before, that nobody cares for your soul. Nobody cares. Some said, nobody knows the trouble I see. Nobody hears my sorrow. How many feel like that sometimes? No one cares for my soul. He said, refuge has failed me. How do you know something? That pit is a refuge. That pit is your refuge. Then he said, I cried out to you, O Lord. I said, you are my refuge. My portion in the land of the living, attend to my cry. For I'm brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. And we look at the persecutors, it doesn't have to be flesh and blood, man. Your persecutors can be all kinds of spirits. It could be greed. It could be envy. It could be lust. It could be perversion. It could be jealousy. It could be hatred. It could be rage. It could be bitterness. See, the fruits of the flesh can represent those persecutors. Because Satan, first of all, we know that he's an accuser of the brethren. That's the word of God. He said he's an accuser of the brethren. So all the time, he's coming with accusations, real accusations against you. Does George forsake you for not? Does Maria forsake you for not? Does Anthony forsake you for not? Or Tequila forsake you for not? I bet I can make them turn that back on you, God. Watch this. He said, for they're stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison. Bring my soul out of this pit, Lord God. That I may praise your name. But I'm going to praise your name in the pit. But when you bring me out of this pit, I'm going to dance like David did. If my clothes come off and I be more undignified, is that the word for indignified, whatever the word is? I do that for the Lord. For the glory of God, I lose my mind. For the glory of God, I'll let my ego go, whatever it is, my pride, whatever it is. And you dance for God, you sing for God, and you showed your nakedness. I don't care. I get naked for God. I don't care. He had Isaiah walk naked backwards. David danced his toes off. But he said, the righteous shall surround me, for he shall be bountifully with me. See, once I do it, everybody's going to catch a fire. That man was in the pit. He should have lost his mind. He came out of praising God. I'm going to praise with him. He got a breakthrough. I'm going to get a breakthrough, too. And my breakthrough today is that I know how to maintain now. I know what I've been lacking. I said to my wife, I said, I understand. So I've been lacking the management of my life. It's crazy. I had to look up and say, man, would you be my manager? And God said, I'm not going to only let you manage his career, but you're going to manage his life. I'm like, now I'm learning now that I got to be managed for myself. And God is teaching me how to be a manager, how to be a faithful steward, how to let my talents be multiplied. That was a parable he gave of a man. He went to town, he gave his servants. He had 3 servants. He gave one 5 talents. He gave another 2 talents, and he gave another 1 talent. When he gave 5 talents, went and invested his talent, and gained 5 more talents. The one who had 2 talents went and invested his talent and got 2 more talents. The one with the 1 talent went and buried his talent. So when the man came back, he went and he saw him and said, what have you done? He saw the first guy who gave the 5 talents. He said, your servant took the 5 talents you gave him, invested them, and I got 5 more talents. He said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Approached the second one. So your servant went with the 2 talents, invested them, and gained 2 more talents. Well done, a good and faithful servant. Supposed to get ahead the 1 talent. He said, I wouldn't bear the talent. He said, you wicked servant. You wicked person. You know what I mean? So my thing is, what are you doing with God is giving you with the gifts? Even with these talents, you know, like I said, when he got those, he increased the talents, he increased the gifts. Sometimes, you know, that pit can be a gift. We look at it as a curse. Oh, God, why did you put me here? I was talking the other day, sometimes you may be facing foreclosures, but guess what? That may not have been the house that you saw. You may be facing repossession. That may not be the car that you saw. I'm saying praise God, and everybody looking at you like you're crazy because you're praising God, but guess what? You're looking at deployment, not employment. I can walk from this job, and now I'm going to start a business because this is what God showed me. I'm the employer. You're not the employer. He said, I'm the lender, not the borrower. I'm the head, not the tail. You get denied for credit. Hallelujah. Why? Because God told me I'm not supposed to take your stuff nowhere. I'm the lender, not the borrower. I'm the head, not the tail. So we go through this pit, and then we begin to learn kingdom principles and apply them, and then we find out how to live. With a kingdom mind. We find out how to give God glory in the midst thereof. We find out how to be the head and not the tail, to be the lender and not the borrower, to be above and not beneath. That's what we talk about. The way up is down. So down is in that pit. But guess what? I got to come up. I remember I had a verse when I used to be rapping. I said, I tiptoe to see the dirt. I'm low. I had to tiptoe just to see the dirt. And that's something. I ain't going to say the rest of it, but I tiptoe to see the dirt. So I praise God, though, because after that, while I'm a base, he can exalt me. He can elevate me. But at this time, he won't. See, he ain't not going to give you things that you can't handle. Why would I be giving you a mansion and you can't manage a two-bedroom apartment? So we learn how to manage these things, man, in the pit. That's when we get these skills. That's when Joseph got the skills to manage it. I managed Potiphar's house. I managed the prison. Now imagine the entire country. I know you got that inside of you. You got diplomatic status inside of you. That's judges, lawyers. Those are ministers, evangelists, bishops, apostles, whatever you call yourself. Those things are inside of you. Now you got to learn how to manage. So now you got sheep that need to be managed. You got employees, because God has employees. So you got employees that need to be managed. You got students in you that needs to be managed. You got life that needs to be managed. Even your life needs to be managed. And then where do we get it? In the pit. When they say you're pre-diabetic, so now you got to figure it out. Or you're diabetic. Or you got high blood pressure. All those bad things coming to you. And you're wondering why. And you're going into a depression, oppression, suppression. But God said, now come out this pit fighting. What are you going to do? What position will you take? What is your posture? What is your stance? Let's look at Brother Job. That's the guy that was in the pit for sure. Job 7 chapter. Job 7 chapter reads, is there not a time of hard service for man on earth? This is Job, he questioning God, continuing with trials. The trials he's going through with his life. He said, are not his days also like the days of a hired man, like a servant who earnestly desires to shave, and like a hired man who eagerly looks for his wages? So I have been allotted months of futility, and wearisome nights have been appointed to me. When I lie down, I say, when shall I arise, and the night be ended? For I have had my fill of tossing till dawn. My flesh is caked with worms and dust. My skin is cracked and breaks out afresh. My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle, and are spent without hope. Oh, remember that my life is a brook. I will never again see good. Look at him, man. That's some dark stuff to have that. He said, my eyes will never again see good. The eyes of him who sees me will see me no more. While your eyes are upon me, I shall no longer be. As the cloud disappears and vanishes away, say, so he who goes down to the grave does not come up. So your pit ain't even a grave. Your pit, it may feel like the grave, but it's not. He shall never return to his house, nor shall his place know him anymore. Therefore, I will not restrain my mouth. I will speak in the anguish of my spirit. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. I can relate to Brother Job at this point. In the dark hours, some dark nights, and you feel this way. You're like, hey, I just got to get this out. Sometimes you just got to vent. And like, man, enough is enough is enough. How many of you can say, man, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired? That's when change comes. My life didn't change until I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. I didn't give up or let go and let God until I was sick and tired of being sick and tired, until my ability ended and grace began. Till I got to the end of my rope and said, I can't do it no more. My energy in me lies no good thing. In me is a dead end. In me is a brick wall. God, I can't do it no more. I surrender. I came to a place of surrender. In a jail no bigger than my own house, I surrender to God. He said, therefore, I will not restrain my mouth. I will speak in the anguish of my spirit. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. He said, am I a sea or a sea serpent that you set a guard over me? When I say my bed will comfort me, my couch will ease my complaint. Then you scare me with dreams and terrify me with visions, so that my soul chooses strangling and death rather than my body. I loathe my life. I will not live forever. Let me alone, for my days are but a breath. I was in that pit. I may have said this before, but I was in that pit. And I said, God, I'm not strong enough to commit suicide. Save me and take me in my sleep. I said, save me and take me in my sleep. How many know he did it? Because Gigi died and George rose. He arose out of that pit. Hallelujah. That guy died right there in Soperton County Jail. And the man of God you're hearing now came up on fire for God, praising him and wishing him. See, the thing about it that was so depressing in that pit, but then in the midst of me going through, in the midst of me changing my life, my prayers were working for everyone else. But they wouldn't work for me. I had dudes that was facing 10 years, dudes that was on parole holds, and all kinds of stuff. And they'd come in the room and, like, man, pray with me, or pray with my brother. And I began to pray for them guys, man. And the charges they had was being dropped, cases being dismissed. They began to let go. And the whole time I'm there, I was in the little county, little jail, empty out. I was in the county jail for 9 months, and I went outside 3 times. I seen something like 3 times, maybe 4 in 9 months. And the time they did it, it was because they had the grand jury coming. So they put us outside in a little dog pen while the grand jury walked through the jail. But I seen it empty out and clear out, you know, 20 people in here and whatever. But I kept seeing that, and nothing would work for me. And we watched this movie called The Devil's Advocate. And Al Pacino played the role, and Satan spoke here like how God was a prankster, how God does this and God does that. And, man, and it resonated in me, and I was like, man, God, you really are a jokester, man. You this, that, and the third. And I felt a certain way, and I spoke it, just how Job is saying now. I loathe my life. I will not live forever. Let me alone, for my days are but a breath. He said, what is man that you should magnify him, that you should set your heart on him, that you should visit him every morning and test him every moment? How long? Will you not look away from me and let me alone till I swallow my saliva? Have I sinned? What have I done to you, O watcher of men? Why have you set me as your target, so that I'm a burden to myself? Why then do you not pardon my transgression and take away my iniquity? For now I will lie down in the dust, and you will seek me diligently, but I will no longer be. And I was in that same mindset, you know. But yeah, I was a sinner, so I knew the answer to my question. But I had been forgiven, so am I a sinner saved by grace, or am I just a sinner? Or am I saved by grace? So I had asked my question. I had asked God, hey, man, I'm saved, so, you know, you said you put in the seal of forgiveness. I'm sitting there doing my penance or whatever I need to do. But I'm not reminding you of this, and you're not reminding yourself of it, so I should be good. But why are my prayers not being answered? Why the time when I had situations done, I had opportunities to get out, you wouldn't even let me out. You blocked me at every turn. I had an abscess in there. And they still wouldn't let me see the doctor, man. They brought some aspirin to put on my mouth. I'm like, God, I can't even get to the dentist. I mean, can't get into the doctor. What are you doing, man? Listen, I tell you what. Those 9 months, I grew so much in him. 40 days, ladies and gentlemen, wasn't like no bread, no water. Had a $40,000 bond go down to just bring me $400, $800, and you can go home. Matter of fact, it was $400. because I had the money at first. They said, no, we don't want to take the money. We want property. So we got property. We didn't have no equity in the property. There was just so much that went through. But it got down to, after those 9 months and that, in the midst of those 40 days, they said, bring X, Y, Z, and you can go home. And then we'll work some out. That's God, man. And people saw me. They saw the diligence. They saw the faith and the favor of God. They saw things. And then not only that, I had a hold in another county. And they said, you've been here long enough. We ain't going to let you. We're not going to even hold you. We're letting you go home with your family. I'm telling you, man, all I can say is, guess what? God has smiled on me. He has set me free. He's been good to me. So when I'm in that pit, I know how to praise him now. When I'm in that pit, I know how to give him the glory now. But see, watch this. That's what we heard about Job in Job 7. But look at the 42nd verse of Job. Job 42 says, then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do everything and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. You ask, who is this who hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore, I have uttered what I did not understand. Things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Listen, please, and let me speak. He said, I will question you when you shall answer me. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you. Therefore, I have poured myself and repent in dust and ashes. See, I had to begin to repent for even the thoughts that I had towards God. I had to begin to repent. But like even then, when I was studying, my brother was in another jail. He was facing about 100 years. I'm going to tell you, he had like 5 accounts of aggravated assault. He was facing like 20 years for each one. And so I began to write this letter. I still got it to this day, a dear God letter. And I was writing this letter to God, and I was saying, give my mother new life. Drop these cases, discharge for my brother, and some other things. I was just writing to God. Again, I still had the letter. And I stuck it in my Bible. That night when I watched the devil, and I got upset. All my Bible study notes, everything I had in that Bible, I was taking it. I was throwing it away. And I'm telling you, it was so crazy. Like, we only got a phone call like once a week for like, sometimes the dude didn't show up, so we didn't even get the phone call. But this took a night, I got the phone call. And then my brother had his court case. My mom said all the charges were dropped. And I began to praise God. It was in DeKalb County, and I was in, in Truman County. So I go back to my bunk. I pull the Bible out. I'm telling you, when I told you, I threw everything else away. I opened up the Bible and went fell in my lap. I said, did God let him? I'm saying this stuff works, man. I praise him in this pit. I praise him when I'm going through. Job said, I heard you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you. Therefore, I abhor myself from the pen dust and ashes. And so it was after the Lord had spoken these words to Job that the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is aroused against you and your two friends, for you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has. Now, therefore, take for yourselves 7 bulls and 7 rams. Go to my servant Job and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering. And my servant Job shall pray for you, for I will accept him, lest I deal with you according to your folly, because you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has. So now, look at what happened now. I just want to go for the next verse, man. Job, now, the Lord blessed a lot of days of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 female donkeys. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. And after this, Job lived 140 years and saw his children and grandchildren for 4 generations. Now watch what happened now. What if God meant for you to be in that pit for 6 months, right? And we get to 5 months and 29 days and give up. He's not going to tell you how long you're going to be in that pit. So we got to hold on. We got to hold that position while we're in that pit. Because look what Job, his ladder was better than his former. And that's the same thing God's going to do with us tonight. So we can either begin to praise God in the pit, trust him in the pit, and watch him manifest himself in that pit. That's not this. I'm going to leave you at Luke 7. And then we are. And then I'm going to give time for everybody to have some comments or whatever. John's disciples, in the 18th verse, John's disciples brought word to him in prison of all these things. John called 2 of his disciples and sent them to the Lord, saying, are you the expected one of the Messiah, or should we look for someone else? At this time, John was, Herod had incarcerated John for talking about him being with his brother's wife. So he's in prison. He's in a pit. And at this point, he said, are you the Messiah, or should we look for someone else? So the man came to Jesus and said, John the Baptist sent us to ask you, are you the expected one of the Messiah, or should we look for someone else? At that very hour, Jesus healed many people of sicknesses and infirmities and evil spirits. And he gave the gracious gift of sight to many who were blind. So he replied to them, go and tell John about everything you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the good news, the gospel preached to them. He said in the last verse, I want you to know this, and blessed, joyful, spiritually favored is he who does not take offense in me. So we look at the things that we go through in the pit. We see bills paid. We don't know how that's going to get paid. We see miracles take place. We don't know how that's going to happen. We see the lame walk, the blind receive sight, the HIV leave out of the body. We see one leg is longer than the other, and God even them out. We see blind eyes receiving sight. We see deaf ears and mute tongues open up. We see demons being cast out. We see God moving. We see homes being acquired and incarcerated without even having credit. We see God doing so many things, and blesses you who is not offended because of me when I'm silent, when you're in this pit, when I'm not here to hear you, when you say, oh, you don't hear my voice. What do you do? What posture do you take? What ability do you give God? Do you throw your hands up and say, God, for you I live, for you I die? Do you begin to just praise God and say, Lord, I thank you, even in the midst thereof? Do you go to Romans 8:20 and say, I know that all things work together to the good of those who love the Lord, who are called according to his purpose? Then you recognize and say, hey, God, I'm called. And when you said, you called me with a holy calling. And not only that, when you saved me, you gave me a holy calling. So, God, am I there? Am I that person? Do I do those things? And am I pressing this? And I'm admonishing you tonight that in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the pit, that we begin to give God the honor, the glory, and the praise. Lift up holy hands and let our tongues part with praise. And we say, hey, we are coming to this house and gathering his name to worship him. Let us lift up holy hands and magnify his name and worship him. We give him the praise. I don't know what you come to do, but I come to praise his name. I don't know what you come to do, but I come to give him glory. I come to give him the joy. I come to give him what is him, what is due him. That's the mindset. I don't know what you come to do, but I choose not to deny the favors of my Lord, no matter how it's wrapped up and whatever package he puts it in. I give him the honor. I give him the glory. Heavenly Father, we thank you right now, God. We praise you, we worship you, we magnify your name, Father. God, we don't want to give up in 5 months and 29 days, God, when you may have meant for it to be 6 months. You meant for it to be 12 months, and in that 11th hour, we throw our hands up and say, enough is enough. I'm not waiting on God any longer. But, God, we thank you, God, for staying power. We thank you for long-suffering. God, we thank you for the fruit of the Spirit that is our portion. We thank you for love. You said, God, love the Lord with all that heart, all that might, all that strength, no matter what I'm going through. You said we go through to get through. See, some people go under. That's what Satan wants us to do. But, God, you said go through. And when we go through, we can pull others through because now we have the experience. Now we have the testimony. You said we're overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Strengthen us even more so, God. Let your grace, God, be sufficient for us in this hour. And we give you honor, God. We give you glory. We give you praise for being your strength perfected in our weaknesses. Your strength being perfected in our downfalls and our downtrodden state, God. And, God, in the midst of the bad news, God, that we consider bad news, God, but you know. You know the end, God. You know the end before it began. We give you honor and glory. But, God, I'm going to tell you, God, that and I'm moving out the way. But, God, I'm so grateful that even when you allowed your son to down the cross, before we even sin, for our sins, before we even sin, before we was even an idea, he died on the cross for our sins, God. And now that we can get in, now we can make decisions. We give you honor, God. We give you glory. We give you praise. We praise you in this storm. We praise you in this pit. In your son, Jesus Christ, most holy and righteous name, we pray, Father. And so it is. Are we here? Anybody have any comments? You know, we press one. I can recognize you. You can add to it. You can take away from it. I got you, my brother. 3199. Your mic is open.
Good evening. Just been encouraged by, you know, the words of going forth tonight, and just encouraging others to just praise God while you're yet in a pit. And to be transparent, understanding that, you know, we're all going to go there and we'll face those moments, but to still be encouraging to others while you're in that moment. It's strength that doesn't come from you, but it comes from God. And, you know, just acknowledging even when the word desires and says that Satan desires to sift you as wheat, but I pray that your strength won't fail you, that I pray that your faith won't fail you. And when you convert to strengthen your brothers, basically you got to maintain while you're yet in your moment of pain. And, you know, I'm encouraged by the word that's going forth tonight, Pastor Flint. And, you know I love him and can't do anything about it. And just stay encouraged and keep doing what you're doing, man. And you know, we're gonna get there, and all of us are going to get there. And I don't know if we're going to arrive at the same time, but we're on the same train. God bless you all.
Praise God. Praise God. God bless you. That's powerful. 8283, your mic is open.
Good evening. Giving honor to God. I am excited to be back, to hear, to receive the word of God. I got off the path, and I thank God I'm back on. I bent a little bit, but I didn't break. And I thank God for the refreshing of the word that was brought forth from God to you for my life. And I thank you for it. I praise God for it. I worship, I honor, and I just continue to pray that this blog just reach millions and millions and millions of people. I'm speaking it, yes, into existence, and I'm just so grateful and thankful. I thank God for you. Keep doing what you're doing, because it's sure growing me in Christ and feeding me to help me feed and touch others around me. I'm just grateful. I'm truly grateful. I thank God for it.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. The last one is your number is 5779. Your mic is open.
Good evening, my brother. God bless you. I enjoyed the sermon, as always. You know I love you. You know what I mean? So inspiring, man. You are truly God's angel, bro. Truly God's angel, bro. And I thank God every day for inspirational people like you, bro. You know what I mean? You're one of a kind. But at the end of the day, God is so good, you know. And you know, like I said, those stumbling blocks, man, I've been through it too. So your inspiring story, you know, about your family, your brothers, you know, you and where you at and what you and the things you went through, man. I mean, we all need that. We all need that. So I thank God for you, man. I thank God for life. And I'm looking forward to hearing you often. And I love you.
Love you as well, my brother. Praise God for you. Praise God for your journey. Praise God for your story. And I mean, we're going to get someone there so you can give your testimony. People can know where you come from and, you know, what you got to share. We just thank God for you. We praise God for the opportunity to praise him and give him glory. And thank God for recognizing the God in me. You know, and we always sing the song, the Jesus in me loves the Jesus in you so easy. And I said it to everyone on the sound of my voice, the Jesus in me loves the Jesus in you. And it's easy to love. All right. God bless you. Last one is the number is 5310. Your mic is open.
Yes, my brother George and my sister Edwina. I thank God for you guys. I thank God for Jesus for pulling me out of a pit many years ago. And I've been through various pits since then in my walk with Christ. But he's always brought me through. And I have never let go of his hand because I know he won't let go of mine. I thank God for the word that you brought forth tonight, dear. And I tell you, I think about the times when I have been, you know, at a low state in my life. But, you know, I used to tell Jesus, and I still tell him that to come again. I said, I might be going through. I may be down. But guess what? You're right here with me because you said you'd never leave me nor forsake me. You know, so I just thank God for your word tonight. I love you. And brother and my sister, keep on doing what you're doing in Christ. And it's so good to hear the encouraging words that you let out to others. You know, the world needs this. They need it. We're in a dying world, and without Christ, there is no life. God bless you.
God bless you, my sister. God bless you. Thank you for sharing with us, and that was powerful, powerful. 3762, the mic is open. We really hear that anointing word from you. Help us out. Bless us. You may save me. Bless us. Your mic is open. 6447, your mic is open.
Hello, can you hear me now?
Yes, we can.
Okay, thank you. I just give God praise and glory for that message tonight because it is so important in our lives. I think so much about Joseph because no matter what he went through, what his situation was, even though he knew what God had told him would happen and so many evil things before that took place, but he did not curse God. He did not come against God. He did not say, God, where are you? He did not disobey God. You know, even running away from the wife of the man that he was living in his house, he was able to still hold on to his integrity and hold on to his dignity and say, I will not make God to be ashamed of me. And that's, those are things that no matter what we're going through, we ought to realize that if we just keep our eyes on the prize, if we... We did a sermon together a long time ago that between the promise and the receiving of the promise, you have to go through. There's a process that you go through. But I'm so glad that the Lord tells us in Psalms 34:19 that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but I shall deliver them from them all. And we've got to learn to praise while we're in our pit. Paul and Silas did. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And we've got to learn how to just praise him no matter what. And I believe you said the title was Praise in the Pit. God knows I've learned how to praise in the pit. But I'm keeping my eyes on him and keeping my eyes on his promises because I don't want to do anything, allow anything in my life that would block me from God. But I thank God for that message because it's an encouragement in itself. If we listen and believe, and if we do, what God has given us examples of persons in him that could do. God bless you, my son. I'm just so proud of you and my daughter and my grandson. I thank God for you. And continue to move in him. Continue to let him have his way in your life. God bless you.
Praise God. God bless you. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you for sharing. That was a powerful, powerful illustration. And it's very much needed to know that we can notate those that were in the Bible that did certain things, that went in a certain way, whether it was Joseph or whether it was David or whether it was Daniel, the three Hebrew boys. I mean, it's powerful to know that God is still there and that God is still God. And when we hold our integrity, and what Joseph held on to was the fact that, God, you promised me this. And I'm going to tell you something else. I said God has smiled on me. He has set me free when I was able to exit the jail doors. But here's the thing that really got me. I said, Satan, you meant it for bad. Because I was facing almost 40 years. I had a judge that the sheriff ran the whole town. So whatever he said goes, went. It's like, you know, you can be facing 40 years. So I'm looking at that and I'm saying, you meant it for bad. You want to send me away. So how many know it was just a setup for a come up? I said, back for a major comeback. I mean, it was just a God. I said, but God meant it for good. You meant it for my disaster. You meant it for my harm. You meant it for my hurt. But God used it for my help. And he raised me up out of this pit. And I can give him the glory. I can give him the honor. I can give him the praise. And watch this. When I got out, my old playmates, my old friends, and I want to shut this number be done. They came to me. I'll never forget it. When I was in there, I was like, man, none of them, like, they didn't have anything. They couldn't help me or anything. But when I got out, if I was a week later, they came to the house and they bought me 18 ounces of cocaine, some money, and their cell phones, because they were going to Vegas for the weekend or something. It was I think it was like freaking, whatever it was going on, they was going to Vegas for it. They was spring break or some of those nonsense, whatever it was. And they were like, we're going to Vegas, they go to phones, they go to blah, blah, blah. They go some money in your pocket. Just handle the business while we're gone. I was in tears, Maria. I was crying in tears because I knew that that didn't help me get out. Only God helped me get out. So in my tears, I closed the door. I locked the door. I told them they can go ahead home. Because that didn't give me the glory. That didn't strengthen me. That didn't bring me out of my situation. But God did. I had to hold tight and hold fast to God. And that's what we are. We got to hold fast to that thou hast. If God has given you something to hold on to, even in the midst thereof, trust God. It works, man. Trust God. He's real. He's real in my soul today. He has washed all my sins away. I love you. I praise you. I worship you, Lord God, and I thank you for what you've done in my life, done in my wife's life, my children's life. Thank you for the healing in that body, God. That even in the pit, in the pits of the pain, that God will praise you to the healing manifest itself. We'll praise you, God, to the doors that have been closed will be open. We'll praise you, God, to the doors that have been open too long will be closed. We'll praise you, God, to every demonic entity that has been trying to come against us. We realize that we are in a laissez-faire environment. That means they can't touch us. We give you all the honor, God. We give you glory and praise. In your Son Jesus' name we pray. And so it is. And next, once you're here, and nobody else that has a comment, will be none other than my son to give us the benediction. And we'll call it a night. I want to thank you, Lord God, for the message that went forth and just allowing him to decrease and you using him as he did today. I don't know about anybody else, but that's definitely a word that I need to hear, Lord God. And I just want to thank you for allowing my ears to be open to hear it and receive it. As for anyone else on here, I want to thank you, Lord God, for life, for the strength. Thank you for giving us today. Thank you for waking us up this morning, keeping us in our right minds. I want to thank you, Lord God, for the word, Lord God, that was brought to us today and continue to help us grow, continue to help us learn, and continue to help us try our best to walk in the ways of you and in the ways of the things that we learn on these Thursdays, Lord God. I want to thank you, Lord God, for my family, everyone under the sound of my voice on this line, Lord God. I just ask you to keep us safe, keep us protected, and allow us to continue to walk in your will and the agendas that you have for us on a daily basis. Ask for forgiveness for anything that we've said and the thought that was against your will away to misplease your spirit. And I just ask that we all have a great night. In your name you're praying, so it is. Everyone have a great night.
Good night, good night, good night, and until next Thursday, praise God for all of you. And I just want to thank God, and I know he did the benediction, but with this word, it really hits home. And our daughter and I, my daughter and I, we were talking today in a long, deep conversation, and this is about some of the stuff, the pit, and how, you know, we went through some things and went through a lot of things, but God. And I just thank God for this word just hitting home and just giving me some things to think about. So I do thank God for you all. And until next Thursday, we love you, and there's absolutely nothing you can do about it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.